Hey everybody, my name is Guy Madison, and the workshop is Get a Grip on the Five Spiritual Disciplines. So, how many of you have ever heard of the word hand illustration? I'm just curious, have you ever seen it? Oh, this is cool. You have? Okay. It's really fun. I mean, it's a great illustration on how to take in the Word of God, and what I love about it is it's so simple, but it's something you can remember forever. What I thought we would do is, and I like interactive. Okay, so what we're going to do is I want everyone to take a piece of paper, and we're going to do something that's a little bit interactive and fun. And then I have the word hand. Do you guys remember like in elementary school when you used to draw a turkey? Remember that? Okay, well, this is not a turkey, but it's the same principle. Everybody have a piece of paper? Everybody good? Okay. So what we're going to do is, in the word hand, I want you to take your left hand and put it on the paper. And at the top of the paper, put the word hand. And this will be something you'll have fun doing, you'll take with you. So put your left hand on the paper and then draw, what do they call it? Trace it. Thank you. So you're going to take your left hand, now turn it this way. Take your left hand and then spread your fingers apart and then trace it from here all the way around to here. And then across the top, put the word hand. Everybody good? Everybody not sure? Okay, so what we're going to do is, and this will be something that, seriously, you'll keep this forever. And I tell you why, because it is kind of like a diagnostic tool for you of where you are at this particular season of your life, okay? In terms of your walking, it's not about your maturity in the Lord, but it's just about, it'll kind of give you where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. But it's kind of fun because, you know, there's all different kinds of ways to take in the Word, but these are real basic core things. So what I want you to do is think about the different ways that you take in the Word. Okay, there's all, and you kind of think about the five senses, but that'll mess you up a little bit because, anyway, you'll get it here in a little bit. But think about there's five spiritual disciplines here that's going to be one for each finger, okay? So what I want you to do is, if you were to think about how you take in the Word of God one way, and think about this each week, the way that I'd say the most common way people receive the Word of God, what would it be? Most common way. Okay, that's a way. Hearing? Yes, hearing. Okay, so if you were thinking about church, because that's where we typically hear the Word of God. You might hear it at school, from, you know, in your meetings at Paradigm. There's all different kind of places that you might hear it. But so the question is, how much of the Word, what percentage of the Word do you retain when you hear? And everyone is different, and there's no right answer, right or wrong answer, so it's just you. So if you were to listen and think about the message you heard last Sunday or whatever the most recent message that you heard, how much of it did you retain for, you know, several days, percentage-wise? What would that be? And then write that down. Write it down inside the finger. Write it down inside the finger. And then above that finger, if I didn't say, put the word hearing above the little finger. And I want you to...
Hearing,
uh-huh. So the first way that we take in the Word of God, does that make sense to everybody? I mean, isn't that the most common way? You know, maybe you're not reading the Word yet, maybe you're not meditating, maybe there's all kinds of things you're not doing in the Word yet, but the most common way is hearing. So now write this down here above, and you can write this inside the finger. And there's no, again, you know, I'm going to give you a sheet that shows, but I encourage you to do this exercise because it's kind of fun, and you'll keep this forever, I promise. I have mine from 17 years ago, first time I did this. Okay, so the verse is Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17, which says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. So that's pretty powerful. So when you're reciting Scripture yourself or hearing it, your ears are hearing it, it builds your faith. That's a pretty powerful verse, right? I want you to look up James 1:22. That's another verse I want you to put in the little finger there. James 1:22. And I feel like this will be one that many of you have heard of. And if you haven't, that's okay. And when whoever gets to it first, just go ahead and read it. James 1:22. Go for it.
But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves.
Okay. So we're not just only going to hear, but we're going to do, right? I mean, let's face it, you know, if you don't do, then what's the benefit? Right? I mean, if you hear the word, it blesses you. It maybe builds your faith, but then you got to go live it out, right? And so that's the doing. So, okay, so those two verses, is anyone bold enough to share what they put in that percentage? I'm just curious, under hearing. Yeah. 40%. Awesome. So you're a good listener, probably, I would guess.
It just depends what service it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Last week we had a guest speaker, Mark Cahill. I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he came and he at the beginning, he just, two people died. So he gets your attention like that. And so, okay, I'm going to listen.
Wow, that's awesome.
The way he presented himself.
Isn't that true that a lot of times it's the person, it's the delivery, it's the message, the environment. It's also how receptive the Spirit is. How about anybody else? Did you raise your hand?
1%. 1%?
I love it. Kind of like me. I interact with people pretty well, but I don't always remember what I hear. And if you're a very visual person, the reinforcement of, you know, that's why our society is so into video nowadays. We love video because there's the reinforcement of the visual and the hearing. But right now we're just focused on hearing. Anybody else want to share their percentage? Oh, come on, you guys.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay, go.
Okay, 30 to 50%.
30 to 50.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, are you a good? You think you would view yourself as a good listener?
Most of the time. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. I love it. Okay, so if hearing is one way, somebody already said it a minute ago, but so we'll just pretend you weren't listening. What is another way to take in the Word of God?
Reading.
So your next finger would be reading. And I'm going to ask you the same question. What percentage would you, retain if you read? Again, now you've got the visual. So you've got words going in your brain, you're not hearing. I'll give you a verse, Deuteronomy 17:19. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God, and follow carefully all of the words of this law and these decrees. Deuteronomy, yeah, that's a put that in the finger, Deuteronomy 17:19. Deuteronomy 17:19. Deuteronomy, D-E-U-T, period. Is it? It is D-E-U-T, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, now you're messing with me. I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. So we're going to look up the next one, Revelation 1:3. And this is all under reading. I want you to think about some of the things that help you improve your time in the Word besides hearing. Obviously, reading is a great way. But a lot of people are like, well, what do I do? Reading, how do I read, and what do I read? A lot of people don't understand. And one of the things I'll tell you is, and who, by the way, anybody have Revelations 1:3? You got it? Okay. Can you read real loud?
Blessed is the man who reads aloud the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it.
Excellent. So, it's all about, now we're talking about reading, right? So, be sure and write down Revelations 1:3. Who would like to share the percentages that you had? Yes, ma'am?
4%.
4%?
Yeah.
Okay. Why 4%?
When I read, like, my mind just wanders. Like, I'll be reading it through the page, but have no idea what I just read.
That's awesome. I appreciate your honesty. See, there's no right or wrong answer, good or bad. It's you. Each finger along the way, each spiritual discipline is you. So you're starting to kind of get a picture as you go from finger to finger to finger to finger, and then the thumb, how you take in the word and what's most beneficial for you. That's kind of cool. I mean, you go, okay, well, I suck here. I'm really good here. I suck here. I'm really good here. You know, I mean, it helps, right? It makes a difference. And when you kind of understand, if I was to say that, then a lot of times in reading, one of the things that helps you is a Bible reading plan. How many have heard of a Bible reading plan? I mean, I don't mean to be so basic and elementary, but a Bible reading plan can consist of different versions of the Bible, like NIV, NKJV, KJV, NASB, NLT, TLB, And one of the joys of going through the Word is being able to read all these different versions and take in the Word of God, and it's a blessing. And one of the greatest versions to start with is, believe it or not, the most basic understanding common day-to-day is NIV. It's the most common. But if you want to read something really fun to read, and it's your first time to go through the Word, the New Living Translation is really fun. It's the one I did when I very first read through the Bible. My goal in life is to read through the Word of God and talk about reading. Now, we're talking about the importance of reading, even at 4%. You do it enough, you're going to start retaining things, right? Because repetition is the mother of learning, right? Another kind of cool thing under reading is, if you knew, does anyone know how many Proverbs there are in the book of Proverbs?
Many chapters?
Yes. 31. Okay, so maybe you know where I'm going with this, but if you don't, you'll love this. So what's today? 27th? Okay, so you're opening up your Bible and you're finally getting a discipline. You're going to say, I'm going to read the Bible today. Wow, what do I read? And maybe you don't have a Bible reading plan yet, and so you don't know where to start. Well, let's see, today is what day? Oh yeah, September 27th. So you go to Proverbs 27. And that way you can take in God's Word and gain some wisdom that day for that day. And so it's always easy. It's like, oh, wait, what did he say? Is it, oh, yeah, it's Proverbs. And what's the day? Okay, it's the 15th. And then you read Proverbs 15 or whatever the day is. Isn't that cool? And you can do that. I've been doing that for years. You know what I do? When I finish a read-through, I'll read through the whole Bible. Sometimes I'll do Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament. Like, in other words, it's a version of where that's the reading plan. And then when I'm done, I'm not ready to get back in and read the Bible all the way through again. I'll read Proverbs for a couple of months. And Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So reading is really, really powerful, but it's just another way, not necessarily the way, it's just another way of taking in the Word. And by the way, one great book to read is, especially if you yourself are trying to figure out where to read in the Word and you don't have a reading plan, or if you're helping somebody and you say, where would I start, is the book of John. The book of John is absolutely the gospel. The whole gospel presentation is in the book of John, and I highly encourage you to do that. Who here, by the way, has YouVersion? Who has heard of YouVersion? Okay, that's an app that's free, and there are reading plans in there, and every version of the Bible in there. So if you like NASB and not NIV, you can read that. So I encourage you to download that app. And I think they've got it in Androids and iPhones. I think most smartphones you can find it. So next, if we've got hearing, did I do all the verses? Let's see here. Yes. Okay, so the next one then would be, okay, so we've heard, we've read, and what's another way to take in the Word? And you guys are students, so that ought to be a dead giveaway, what I just said right there.
Like visualizing, seeing it.
Okay, you're close. What are you doing, though, when you do that? What do you do for a test? Study. Study. Okay, so study is the third finger. Okay? I was going to say, when, you've been out of school too long already, haven't you? Hey, listen, even if you get out of college, you should always be a student of the game, right? So you're always studying. It just may not be books in college. So it's always fun to be a student of the game. All right, so study. So here's a verse for you. There's three verses. First one is Ezra, E-Z-R-A, Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Ezra 7:10. And by the way, there's a principle that I'm sharing here with you when you hear me quote a verse, but I'm going to save it for in a minute. Anyway, there's a way to quote verses and how we always follow it with the reference. So you say Ezra 7:10. And then the second one is 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, you're studying. You're taking the word of God. You're rightly dividing the word of truth. You're pouring over it. And by the way, the version on that one, for that particular one, because it's really the best, on that one is KJV. So write KJV out beside 2 Timothy 2:15. I don't mandate or dictate the versions, but that's the only one that I want to really encourage you to look at. And then the third verse is Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. This is all under study. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Acts 17:11. Okay, now think about that one for just a minute. The Bereans, they were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, and they wanted to kind of check out and see if what Paul said was true. So they're examining. So examining would be another word for study. Here's the question for you, and you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. If you study, what percentage would you put down? This is personal again. It's you, because everyone's different. I like this example here. It says it's studying is not mama bird style or get together and share your ignorance. That's not what we mean by studying. But original investigation. In other words, not hand me down. You know, so if I give you a verse and you go, oh, that's cool, and I got that verse. And so you kind of, and I tell you what it says, that's hand me down, right? That's not original investigation. Study is original investigation. You are looking up verses. How many of you ever gotten into the Word? This is kind of fun, by the way. How many of you have, when you're reading the Word, you're reading your message for the day, and you open up the Bible, and you read the verses, and then you come across a passage, and maybe you have a study Bible, and down below there's notes. And so you go read the notes on what you just read because you just want to understand it better. And then it refers you to another verse, and all of a sudden you find yourself just going all over the Bible. Anyway, have you ever done that? Anybody? It's kind of fun, isn't it? There are times when that's good, and there are times when you need to be intentional and really do that original investigation and stay on task, right? So, okay, so study. Anybody have any questions up to this point? Okay, so we've done hearing. We've done reading. We've done study. I hinted a minute ago as to what it was. What would be the fourth thing? The fourth discipline for taking in the Word of God. What?
Memorization.
Memorization. There you go. So write that down. Memorization. Or memorize, whatever you want to put. How many of you here love to memorize? Okay, we've got a couple here. When my mentor first was taking me through this process, and we were doing this very I still have the same, I kid you not, you will keep this. I still have this thing in my book, and I meet with men every week, and I look at how I answered my questions way back all those years ago. And I remember when my mentor, and we call that, because we're at a discipleship conference, we call him my Paul. And that's based on Paul and Timothy. You know, so he is my discipler, my mentor, my spiritual mentor. When he told me that about memorize, I about croaked. I was out of school a long time. I hate to memorize. And here I am. I'm having to memorize again. But there's a reason for that. I'll get to the verses in just a minute. This is not a trick question, I promise. If you memorize the Word of God, what percentage would you put down on your paper? Okay, let me repeat that. This is not a trick question.
You mean now or when we were younger?
Like right now, if you read the Word and you memorized a verse, and you memorized it, and then in a few days, but remember, you memorized it.
Shouldn't it be 100%?
Could be.
Not even not 100%,
like, so, like, you'll... Do you remember parts of it, or you remember, like, the subject of it?
But let me ask you a question. If you memorized it...
Like, you know it front and back?
You knew it front... What we would call word perfect. Then what percentage would that be? 100. See, I said, not a trick question. I mean, it's the one thing... I had one person that I was sharing this one day go... I don't know, 10-15%. And I try not to laugh because every person is different, right? We're all individuals. And I thought, okay, he really hates to memorize, doesn't he? He really hates to memorize. So memorizing for him, he probably can't memorize. Anyway, so I said, no, this is not a trick question. What is the percent? Oh, 50%. I said, no, you're not getting it. So anyway, we finally got that if you memorize the Word of God. Okay, so here's some great verses for you. One is Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Not 9 through 11, but 9, 11. Now, this is going to sound gender specific, but this is for you gals too. And it's really a great, in fact, it's one of my most favorite, and I teach my children this verse. Keep in mind memorizing. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11 says, how can a young man, we'll say young man, young woman, keep his way pure, her way pure? By living according to your word. That's 9. 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember what we're talking about today? We're talking about the 5 spiritual disciplines. Get a grip on the 5 spiritual disciplines. So would you say that memorizing or hiding God's word in your heart is a spiritual discipline? Would you agree? And when people say, well, why would I memorize the word of God? I've got my Bible. I've got my YouVersion. Why would I do that? Because I cannot tell you the times you'll be out in public and you may be with a person that is either a new believer, doesn't know Jesus at all, or maybe they're mature. If they're more mature, what I find myself doing is I'll quote Psalm 119, verse 9-11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But if we're talking in with just a friend, and maybe they don't know Jesus Christ, and they don't, maybe they know the Bible, maybe they don't, I might say, let's say, you know, a really wise man once said that he who hangs with the wise will become wise. But he who hangs with a companion, I might not do the he who thing, by the way, that gets a little bit, you know, Christianese, but he who hangs with a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, I didn't say the Bible said, right? And I just said a wise man once said. And I might say Solomon, if I feel, and they may not know. If they don't know the Bible, then who's Solomon, right? I mean, you know, well, I've heard of him. Yeah, he is a wise man. They don't even really know. But the cool thing is there's different ways. Why did I tell you that? Because if you hide God's word in your heart, then you genuinely know the word. And when you're about to go do something stupid, like we all do, we're human beings, so we're getting ready to do something stupid, it's funny how the Holy Spirit inside of you pops up and goes, how can a young man keep his way pure? Oh, I hate that verse. By living according to your word, I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? So that it comes forth when I need it. And remember, when you say a verse, what did I say in Romans 10:17? From hearing? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the message. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 9-11. And then Proverbs 22:17-18. Let's look that one up. I could quote it to you, but let's look it up. Proverbs 22, verse 17-18. By the way, I got to tell you guys, I've got young children from 33 down to 9, and I really respect that you guys are like, this is so cool that no one's on their smartphones, and thank you. I just want to tell you, and I'm just as guilty as you guys are, believe me, just because I'm an older guy. I still love technology, but I just, thank you. And I will tell you something, when you're with someone and you're meeting with someone face-to-face, and remember how he talked tonight about, Skip talked about face-to-face relationship and kind of was bashing texting a little bit. I love his message on texting and the Ten Commandments. I got to go home and tell my wife that. That was so funny. But what was really cool was face-to-face is so important, and when you're with someone face-to-face, there's real ministry. And you know what I do? And I'm just as tempted as you guys are. Now, you were raised on technology, but I acquired technology. So, you know, I love technology. What I do is I'll sit in a meeting with someone that I'm with, one-on-one, and I'll tell them right up front, look, you have my undivided attention. I just want you to know the only phone call I will take is my wife. And 99% of the time, my wife knows not to call because she knows I'm in a meeting. But if she forgets or it's an emergency, I'm going to take that call. Is that okay? And obviously, what are they going to say? I mean, they say, of course. And then I live by that. So any other business calls, I'm a business guy. So any other business calls that come in or anything, I do not take the call. Why? Because when I'm spending time with you, you have my undivided attention, period. Because I value you. You're important, right? Forgive me if I sound like a father teaching to my kids because I've said this message many times. But I am also speaking to myself. Who's got Proverbs 22:17-18?
Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be a pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips.
There you go. So, keep them within you. I think that the NIV version, now I'm going to have to do it too, because what version are you reading there? Is that NLT?
No.
NASB?
Yeah, NASB.
Okay. So NIV is, it is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. You want to know that there's another verse that just supports memorization. I cannot tell you the importance and the value that you will have in that. The last one, I'm going to do an illustration here. So right now what I want to give you an example. So let's say we've done hearing and reading. I'm going to ask you to take the word with your two fingers. I'm going to hand this to you, and you're going to try to take it, and you can't use your thumb. Okay? Okay. Try again. Come on. Can't you do it? Come on. And this is an illustration. Thank you. That's an illustration of when you're only hearing and reading, how quickly and easily Satan can steal the word of God from you. People go, whoa. We're going to go to the last and the fifth. Well, it isn't really the finger, is it? It's the thumb. Anyone want to take a bold guess on what the thumb is? Thank you, by the way. So we've got hearing, reading, study, memorize, and this is not necessarily, I wouldn't have guessed this one, but back when I was asked, I didn't get it. Yes?
Sharing?
No, but that's a good one. No, that's a good one. That's like fellowship, right? That's a great way, actually, to share the Word of God. But I'm looking for one specifically that kind of sort of goes hand in hand with study, but it's a little deeper. Meditating. So meditation, thank you. Good job. So meditation is the final one. And write this verse down. And by the way, you'll be glad to know that there is no percentage to ask on this one, so it doesn't matter. Joshua 1:8. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. By the way, I just quoted Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. That's the second one. So you've got Joshua 1:8, and I want you to look up Joshua 1:8. And then the one I just quoted to you was Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. So think about that again. You guys go ahead and look up Joshua 1:8. Old Testament, somewhere in the first 7-8 books. And then when you get to it, read it out loud. I love this verse because we live in a world where we talk about success. And okay, we'll do the Amplified, and then we'll do an NIV. Somebody got an NIV too. Read real loud if you would, because so and pick it up on the recording. Thank you.
Okay.
This book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall do wisely and have good success.
Excellent. What is the way? I want someone to read. That was the Amplified. Did you say Amplified? Okay, who's got NIV? I want to hear NIV as well, so both versions.
Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Okay, so think about that. And this was really powerful. And by the way, this ministers to me, you guys, even right now as I speak here. What do we think about in the world? We want to be prosperous and successful, right? Well, I'm not here to teach the prosperity gospel or any of that kind of stuff, but prosperity could be loving relationships, great health. And you might be blessed with the right job and just, you know, the career path, et cetera, et cetera. You maybe do well in school and yes, but we all want to be prosperous and successful. So what's the key? Out of that verse, you guys, what's the key? What did it say to do? And how much?
Day and night.
Day and night. So anytime you get frustrated with your life and you say, why am I not doing better? What's wrong with my health or my family's health? Or what's wrong with, why did I flunk the last three tests? Lord, I'm asking for your help. I've studied. What happened? You know, and God gives the answer right here for prosperity and success. He says, meditate on the Word day and night. Now I'm going to do something. I'm going to allow you to redeem. What's your name right here?
Scott.
Scott, I'm going to let you redeem yourself now, okay? I want you to grab the Word from me, and you can use your thumb. There you go. See? The thumb is the glue that holds all of the other things together. Meditation is the key to making hearing, reading, study, and memorize work. And what you're doing is, it's called ruminating on the Word. It's like, have you ever seen a cow chew the cud, chew her cud? And she chews it over and over and over and over and over and over, and you're going, my goodness gracious, how does a cow do that? That's ruminating. That's how you ruminate on the Word of God. It's just like a cow chews on the cud to get more and more out of it. You personalize the Scripture. Like John 3:16. Who did God so love? Thank you. You nailed it. Me. Right? I personalized it. How did I get that? I'm meditating on the Word. I'm taking it in. I'm chewing it over and over again. So that's just an example in a great way of showing you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw a line between the reading and the study. So you're going to draw like the Vulcan sign, you know? The Vulcan. Anybody know Star Trek? Okay. I think I've got the right fingers. Right? Thank you. I can't have a hard time to like make it do that. So draw a line. Draw a line right here from the top to the bottom of the page. So the key is, the things to the left, would you agree that hearing and reading are easy to do? I mean, aren't they? I mean, you know, we can read, we can hear. Not a lot of effort there, right? Write that, easy to do, to the left. You know, just draw an arrow from your line and point it to the left and say, easy to do. And then, what would you say about the other three things on the right? They're harder, aren't they? More difficult to do. So once you start understanding, then what I want you to do, if you would agree to mature in your walk, get a grip on the five spiritual disciplines, would you agree that you've got to move from the easy things to do to the more difficult things to do, right? Like my buddy, my Paul, who said, I want you to memorize. It's like, oh no, God, don't say that. And of course, I had submitted to his authority as my mentor. And I knew, and that's going to sound kind of corny to you, I don't mean to be cheesy about it, but I knew if he was asking me to do that, I had to do it. Because I knew he was only going to ask me to do things that were best for me. Not for him. It wasn't about pleasing him. It was about what's best for me. And so I knew those harder things, the study, the memorize, and the meditation. But how do you grow? If you knew, and I say this all the time, anytime I'm meeting with guys and we're talking and they're struggling, and I ask them, how much? You in the Word? No, haven't been in the Word in a couple of weeks. In fact, I can't remember the last time that I was in the Word. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. When I meet with men, we hold each other accountable for time in the Word. They don't get away with that. But when I meet in my men's group where the accountability is not as intimate, they might say, well, it's been a couple of weeks. Okay, and so what's Joshua 1:8 said? Just sum it up, anybody. Joshua 1:8, we just covered it. Sum that up for me, anybody.
Meditate on the Word.
Exactly. And what do you get if you meditate on the Word?
Success.
Success and prosperity, right? You'll be prosperous and successful. And again, keep in mind, I'm not talking about what the world looks at as prosperity and success. Now, you might get that too. Yeah, I'm not saying you won't get that, but that's not what the Scripture is referring to necessarily. But that's kind of encouraging, though. So then they kind of look down and they go, so what you're saying is I need to spend more time in the Word? Well, I don't know. You just said it. You know, so I think you answered your own question, right? All right, so here on the middle of the hand, this isn't what's called an application or a practical verse. We're going to do James 1:22. We're not just going to hear. We're going to apply. We're going to do. So I want you to write the word application. It's right in the middle of the hand on the illustration. Just write the word application. And then under that, I want you to put Luke 6:46. This is a great verse, by the way. Luke 6:46. which says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So Jesus himself is saying, why do you guys keep saying, Lord, Lord, do this, or, you know, but they're not doing what he says. He's teaching them the principles, right? But they're not doing it. So what we're going to do is we're going to do what's called an application. So what I want you to do for, and just make room underneath there under the word application in Luke 6:46, I want you to put like four numbers, like number one, and then under that, number two, under that, number three, and number four. And on number one, what I want you to do is put, what is your strength now? Not where have you been, when I was doing better, but you know, today, what is your strength? Is it hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, or meditation? One of those five. And everybody will have probably a different answer. And then what I want you to do is I want you to put, and this is, you can put whatever, but since there's so many other numbers, I would put A on the finger that you said was your strength. Just put an A and circle it. That way you'll look at that and go, oh, that's my strength. You could put an S if you wanted to for strength. And then number two is, where are you weakest now? So under number two, under application, the middle of your hand, where are you weakest? And then go up and do the same thing. Put a Z and circle it, or you can put a W for weakness. If you want to put S for strength, W for S, fine. Or A for strength and Z for weakness, whatever. And circle that. Question for you. So is your motivation your strength or your weakness? What, your strength, right? We love doing so. How many, and I'm always curious about this. Is there anybody in here that has their strength and their weakness on the easy side, strength and weakness on that side, or do you have your strength and weakness on the hard side? Or do you find you've got one of each? One of each. Would all of you say one of each? I mean, doesn't that make sense? The easy to do is what? Hear and read. Well, a lot of, I love to read. I love to read, so that's my strength. What's my weakness? Probably memorization still. And that's hundreds and hundreds of verses memorized to date later. Is it? I still struggle with this. It's a weakness. But, you know, you work on it, right? But my motivation is to read. I love to read. Who loves to study? That's a hard thing to ask a college kid, isn't it? Oh, not me, not now. I'm getting my fill of it. But does anybody put down study?
It's something I'm interested in.
Okay. See, if I was meeting with you as an example and you had a Paulette, we'll call, that's Paul, female? Okay, all right. A Paulette meeting with you, then you might, she might ask you, she might know, okay, so your motivation is in studying. So what we might do is then do a John study. We might look at the book of John and we might go through that together. Or there are different books the Navigators have, like DFD, Design for Discipleship, or Operation Timothy. There's just all kinds of different books out there that you can go through. If I know that that's your strength and or your weakness, then I can use that. You see how you can use that as a diagnostic tool for yourself? So when you walk out of here, you're going to go, all right, my strength is this, and my weakness is this. What do you think you should do with your weakness? Yeah, work on it. Now, the question is, always is then, will you? We'll carry the application one step further here. So I like this here. If God wanted you to improve, this is not a trick question. If God wanted you to improve, y'all already answered this one. Which one do you think is most important now? And by the way, doesn't necessarily have to be your strength or your weakness. Could be another one in there. My weakness is probably memorization. My strength is reading. But where could I really use some improvement? Maybe study or meditation. Does that make sense? So that's your third. And by the way, you're answering for yourself. So this is you. You're saying, you're acknowledging, that's where I would like to improve. Okay? So when you get out of here and you ever show somebody, that you can show them that and they can help you. Finally, number four, what, with God's help, will you do about it this week? I want you to answer that. You just indicated, number three, the thing that you need to do to improve. And now I'm going to challenge you. What, with God's help, are you going to do about it this week? So it's an action statement. It's not like, well, next semester, I'll get to it. This week. And that, guys and gals, is the word hand illustration, or get a grip on the five spiritual disciplines. What I've found people like, and I don't know, maybe you guys agree or disagree, because you guys, most of your students or have been recently, the thing about, we like numbers. Give me the five things to change my life. Give me the five things or seven or whatever, right? We like, okay, here's boom, 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 boom. We just gave five things. Anyone want to try to recite them? Okay, you can look if you want.
Hearing, reading, studying, memorization, meditation.
Excellent. Exactly. And if you think about that, now, here's the cool thing. What we just did together tonight is something that if you keep this, and depending on how good, if you took copious notes, as they say, you could actually meet with somebody and you could run through this with them. Now, you may or may not know the memorization of those scriptures I recited yet, but here's the cool thing. What you do is you're meeting with them and you go, Scott, you go, hey, dude, whatever your friend's name is, you know, you just, why don't we look that up together? So it teaches them how to get in the Word, Old Testament, Psalm, Proverb, New Testament, and you help them. You don't make them feel bad. I mean, a lot of times people don't know. But you see what a cool tool this is that you could use? You're going, man, I'm just trying to figure out how to use it myself. And that's okay. But the Word Hand's a great tool, diagnostic tool for you to use for yourself and to help other people with. So I challenge you, all of you, to, you know, look for that opportunity sometime. How did I get to do this so many times? I've done this thing probably 15 times publicly in front of groups, small and large. And I've probably done it 20 times, just one-on-one, 25 times probably one-on-one, because it's such a wonderful tool. And what's it do? I mean, how are you going to grow? And what's this conference all about? Discipleship, right? How are you going to mature and grow with the Lord? This is five really basic ways. Isn't that cool? That's it. Let's talk. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah.
Right after you talked about application, you said James, and then I didn't hear the rest of it before you talked about Luke 6:46.
Yeah. No, thank you. Remember when we talked about James 1:22 about not being just hearers of the word, but doers of the word? And we read that under hearing, remember? Okay, that also is an application verse you can use for, you know, it's a verse you can use for application, right? Because we're not just hearing, we're going to go do, right? I mean, if you want to have a blessed life, you've got to kind of do. I always say the difference between a dreamer, I'm going to relate this in the secular world, the dreamer and an entrepreneur is that a dreamer dreams. An entrepreneur dreams and does. Now, let's go back scripturally. Someone who wants to grow in their walk with the Lord, they hear, they read, they study, they memorize, they meditate, and then they go out and apply it. They apply it in their lives. They live it in the world, in school, work, wherever. You know, we don't need to go to Africa, right? We've got someone right in the dorm room right next door, or the apartment right next door, or the cubicle right next door, that you may be the only Jesus they ever find. They'll never come darken the doorstep of a church. If you know these principles, then you can go and apply them wherever you are. You don't have to be inside the church to do it. We are the church, right? Okay. Anybody else? Come on, let's. We got a few minutes here. Yeah.
I'm from China, so when you talked about Bible reading.
Yeah.
My question is, why not from first page to the from first page goes through the Bible.
Left to right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, like why pick the book of John, you're saying, or why Proverbs, right?
This chapter.
Great question.
One.
When I first read the Bible, the very, very first time, I did go cover to cover. I read page one all the way straight through to the end. But that's a great question, and I'm going to answer it because here's the deal with the Word of God. If you've never read the Bible before, the best book, what got you to know Jesus in the first place, it's the New Testament piece probably, right? And so in the New Testament is where the book of John is, and you've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what brought about salvation into your life and where Jesus came into your heart. When you read the Old Testament, if you don't know about the grace and the love of Jesus Christ and God, then in the Old Testament, what did I love what Skip said tonight about texting, you know, God sent the Ten Commandments. That's really funny. I mean, think about it. Never heard that. You know, the Ten Commandments, and they didn't work. Right? I mean, we continued to still sin and do the things that we do. But Jesus came, and Jesus was the one who atoned our sins, and Jesus is the one who connected us to God and through His love. And so that is why there's nothing wrong reading cover to cover, but sometimes when you're new, if you start in the Old Testament where you see God's judgment and you see a lot of pain, I'm in Ezekiel right now, and it's like, you know, I need to go to catch some stuff from Ephesians and John because Ezekiel's like they're killing everybody, you know, and God's judgment is on the people. Well, now, wait a minute. I just accepted Jesus, and He loves me. And you're reading this Old Testament stuff. So that's why sometimes it's good to start in the New Testament. But if you've never read through the Word of God, I'd go, whatever encourages you, if you know you'll do it, go cover to cover. Because that sounds like that's the way you've learned.
Yeah.
And that's the way we've learned.
Yeah, because in China, we do a lot of...
You read right to left, don't you? Yeah, you go right. Yeah.
Well, the way we study English, just remember that.
I wish my daughter was here. She's lived in China 3 years, and she speaks great Mandarin. I'm blown away. Wow, fascinating. Anyway, thank you, though. That's a really great question. Did I answer it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? How do you see yourselves applying? And it's okay. You say, man, I don't know. I want to just get this myself, you know. But is anyone bold enough to say how they see applying this? Yeah.
Well, when you were right at the end, after the ministry, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with my navigator group. So I'm going to talk to my leader.
Awesome.
Do you know Jack and Carolyn Hill?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to them and see if on Sunday if they'll let me share this. So it's a way to step out and... Even though I don't know all these scriptures by heart, I'll say, "Hey, look this up, John."
That is the most, and I will share with you guys. I'll be transparent with you here. I've done this for 17 years, but every now and then I'll get in a meeting with a guy, and we're going over this, and I'm going the verses, and I say, "Okay, how about this and this?" And then I'm going, and I draw a blank, and I just go, "Why don't you go ahead and look up Revelations 1:3 for me?" He doesn't know, right? So you don't have to get hung up about having all this put to memory. Now, how cool would it be if you ultimately could do that? You know, I think some of the most favorite ones to memorize, though, is what, John 3:16. Anybody want to quote that?
God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Absolutely, word perfect, and that is the gospel in one verse. When you think about that, it's the whole gospel. So if you memorize that one verse, you can go around sharing Christ with people that need Jesus, you know? And another reason why memorization is so important. Okay, I know it's getting late, guys. But you guys are used to late, right? Right? I mean, yes, no? Is it nap time and then we get up later again? Or okay, I'm going to take my 30-minute nap and then I'm good till 3.
Unfortunately, when you're not in college, you don't get to do that anymore.
You do what? When you leave college?
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. Job changes everything. Okay, let's see. You're a freshman. And are you from Oklahoma City?
No, I'm from Austin, Texas.
Are you really? Cool. Awesome. My daughter lived there for many, many, many years. Yep, she did. Huh?
Yeah.
She has. Russia, China, Austin. And the funny thing is, she didn't want to come back when she left OU. She didn't want to come back. And that breaks the dad's heart. I mean, you know, and she's my girl, my firstborn child, daddy's girl, you know. And I went and brought her home from China about 3 years ago. And I said, so, think you might want to move back to Oklahoma City? No. And she's real sweet. I mean, you know, not ugly about it. And I said, okay. And I kid you not, started dating a guy from Oklahoma City. She was praying. She's 33 now, but she was probably 31 at the time. And she's getting upset because she's not married. And she feels like life is passing her by. And, you know, she's been all over the world. And so she meets this guy, and she gives it 1 year. And it didn't work. He's a great guy, but not the one. Well, this other guy had kind of seen her at a campus crusade event in Colorado and had an eye for her. He respected that she had a relationship with somebody else. The day it went public that she and he had broken up, the other guy, he had called her, and he went and pursued her. And it was so cool. And he is the guy that heads up the Norman Campus Crusade Ministry. And so they got married just this past February. And so where does she live now? Norman. How far is Norman from Oklahoma City? Oh, about 30 minutes, you know. So a daddy's prayer was answered. Anyway, any other questions? All right, you guys. Well, if you don't have anything else, anything, yeah.
Do you have, I mean, a suggestion for people like me? I mean, not a Christian, just, I mean, everything's new, I mean, the Bible.
I love it. I would encourage you. Who are you here with? How did you, you said from OCU?
I mean, usually go to the Northwest Baptist
Church. Uh-huh, yeah.
So they, I mean, provide the opportunity, let me join this workshop. But I just stay there, I mean, the Bible study, the Sunday morning, I mean, service, stay there. I don't understand what I mean.
Did you say you are non-Christian or new Christian?
No.
Non-Christian. Okay. I would encourage you, go back to whoever invited you here, number one, and just say, hey, I got lots of questions. I have this dude who gets up there and tells me how to read the Bible. What are you talking about, you know? And I would really encourage you, I know you want to read it cover to cover. I still would encourage you to read the book of John. The book of John. Let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. So it's in the New Testament, book of John. I'd encourage you to read that. And I would really encourage you to go back and sit down and just go to this person and just ask away. Ask away. What about, who is this Jesus? Who's God? What, I don't understand all this. What's the Bible? Is it real? Why is it real? You know, really hammer them good with some good questions. I hope that guy's not me someday. I'll get that come back at me, right? But no, that's exciting, though. And I think if you do, the truth is revealed in the Word of God. And so when we read the Word, it's just as if God was speaking to you personally. That's what's great about it. And I think that's good for all of us. And I'll tell you guys, when you're reading, I'd encourage you to meditate when you're reading. Let's say you read Proverbs 27. Okay, that's in the middle of the Bible. If you read a proverb and you just say, Lord, what are you saying to me today? And a nugget will come out for you, like you, Scott, will come out. And what's your name?
Wendy.
Wendy, okay. And Wendy, you'll read the same Proverbs 27 and you'll get something. The Holy Spirit, the Lord will speak to you. It'll be different than Scott, most likely, because of where you guys are. But I think that what helps you is you have a filter that you see things through, you see the world through. And if you just will read with an open mind, are you going to be here the whole weekend? Are you going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. Well, I'll look for you. I'll and maybe we can hang for a few minutes or talk, you know. So I'd love to sit down and talk to you. All right, you guys. Anybody else? You guys are like, I want to get out of here now. Go. Are we done? Everybody good? Okay. All right. You guys were great. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys.
Copyright by the Navigators, 2013. All rights reserved.